Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Yeah. Now we can do something really important.
We're going to study a section called Your Brother's Sinlessness. Now, here's Course in Miracles going at it again, working out the hardest things in our lives, difficulties we have with other people, where we're doing just fine, and suddenly somebody does something or says something, and then we're not doing so fine. How could it possibly be something you can fix if they're the problem? Didn't they say that? Didn't they promise they would do this? And then years later, they did the exact opposite. Did that happen to you, Bunky? Is that where your heart hurts so much? Is that you got disappointed because somebody didn't do what you thought they should do? Even what they promised they should do? Or was it you? Did you disappoint yourself because you promised somebody else to do something and you just, after a while, just couldn't? And then you didn't want to. And then you didn't. Is it you? Is it you that has the problem? Probably some of each. Both, you know, all of us. Probably been on both sides of that coin. This is how you make a world of separation and keep it. This is how you make it mean something and self-prove that the world of bodies and competition is real. We're going to undo that with A Course in Miracles. You will still be here, but your deep belief in the other person being the perpetrator is going to dissolve. This is the gift we get with A Course in Miracles. Hi, Cecilia. Welcome.
Oh, hi.
Peekaboo.
I'm getting kind of like situated, so I'll be
all right. So your brother's sinlessness. Now, I don't know the history. I haven't learned it on the titles. I think Bill and Helen sat together, and maybe when Ken came along, and they came up with the section titles after they studied the material. Since it's in print, Helen had the say, and probably they put their heads together and asked the voice, what should we title this section? Because they're pretty clever. A lot of these are amazing. Given the content of the material, the title chosen sometimes really impresses me. So it might be Our Awakened Mind, Jesus, that chose these titles. The word sinlessness, I want to remind you, Course in Miracles uses guiltlessness, sinlessness. And it's a state, all right, where the subject that's being modified with lessness doesn't exist or is impossible. Guiltlessness. Or defenselessness doesn't mean that you're not defended. It means that you don't understand how defense could apply. So there's literally no defense because there's no attack. Even if you thought there was an attack, there would be no effective defense, because it would be a counterattack, as the Course deftly describes on that topic. It's a healing awareness. It's a wonderful healing awareness that what you invest your mind in, you get. You spot it, you got it. Probably some other good phrases that sit where if you hold it in your mind, you will receive that. And you will live that. Even if you're pointing it to somewhere outside of you, you're the first recipient. Thus making it real for you. And making the world where you live. There is another way. There is actually a way for you to move into your spiritual identity where you still find yourself in the world. Bodies, time, and space. But no longer of the world. Your perspective is not from the world. your destination is not the world. We take a miracle for that. Isn't that what you came for? Haven't you found the world's promises and the world's gifts a little thin? Maybe fun. I'm finding them, you know, fun, but meaningless. So off to healing we go. And tonight we're going to work with one of these terms, sinlessness, and try to get a feel for that. Okay, let's dig in. Let's go to text page 471, chapter 22, text page 471, and our trusted brother, Timothy Day, would you please read paragraph 1 when you get there?
The opposite of illusions is not disillusionment, but truth. Only to the ego, to which truth is meaningless, do they appear to be the only alternatives and different from each other. In truth, they are the same. Both bring the same amount of misery, though each one seems to be the way to lose the misery the other brings. Every illusion carries pain and suffering in the dark folds of the heavy garments in which it hides its nothingness. Yet by these dark and heavy garments are those who seek illusions covered and hidden from the joy of truth.
And of course, as you seek, you will find. Because of what you are, your seeking contributes to what you are looking for and what you find. You'll keep seeking until you find it. Because you're seeking. Two-edged sword. As you raise the sword of the world, you first cut yourself, and then you cut whatever you're aiming at. Well, I guess we should read this whole section through, since it's a new section. So let's go for that. And then we'll come back, and we'll dig in, and we'll pull out the gift in that paragraph. Albert, would you read for us paragraph 2 after you unmute yourself?
Truth is the opposite of illusions because it offers joy. What else but joy could be the opposite of misery? To leave one kind of misery and seek another is hardly an escape. To change illusions is to make no change. The search for joy in misery is senseless, for how could joy be found in misery? All that is possible in the dark world of misery is to select some aspects out of it, see them as different, and define the difference as joy. Yet to perceive a difference where none exists will surely fail to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. And Deborah, would you give us the next paragraph, please, number 3.
Illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. The form in which they are accepted is irrelevant. No form of misery in reason's eyes can be confused with joy. Joy is eternal. You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear. Joy does not turn to sorrow, for the eternal cannot change. Mm-hmm. But sorrow can be turned to joy, for time gives way to the eternal. Only the timeless must remain unchanged, but everything in time can change with time. Yet if the change be real and not imagined, illusions must give way to truth and not to other dreams that are but equally unreal.
Mm-hmm.
This is no difference.
Yep. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4?
Reason will tell you that the only way to escape from misery is to recognize it and go the other way. Truth is the same and misery the same, but they are different from each other in every way, in every instance, and without exception. To believe that one exception can exist is to confuse what is the same with what is different. One illusion cherished and defended against the truth makes all truth meaningless and all illusions real. Such is the power of belief. It cannot compromise. And faith in innocence is faith in sin. If the belief excludes one living thing and holds it out apart from its forgiveness.
Oh, Jacqueline, would you read that last sentence again for emphasis? And then read us miracle principle number 7.
And faith in innocence is faith in sin if the belief excludes one living thing and holds it out apart from its forgiveness.
Oh, boy. Sounds pretty exacting. I think we better go see if he means it. Go look at miracle principle number 7. In the front of the book on page 3.
Fine. Okay. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first.
That's it? That's all we get? That's right. Black and white, short sentence. Number 7. It's kind of good news and bad news. It's so stark. There's not much to go from. You can't escape the clarity of miracles are everyone's right. Now that makes me feel good. It's my right. There's hope. I can do it. I'm going to own it. I can have this switch back to love, the switch back to light, this switch back from confusion to understanding, from exclusiveness to inclusiveness. It's my right. These are miracles. That's what miracles are. It's my right. But purification is necessary first. It's just the way it is because of how powerful you are. Purification is necessary, and it won't be done to you. This purification is what A Course in Miracles brings on. It will be a healing of your mind. You see, you're sick. Your perception of what you are and where you are, it is broken, and the Course calls this a sickness. And you're holding yourself in this sick ward. So this is what it means by purification, is you really have to undo your addiction to being separate and vulnerable little human. At least give it room. At least allow your mind a little rest away from its devotion to being a body for a single instant. But, you know, we're so deep in this stream, you know, that it's helpful to do exercises like we're going to do tonight with looking at sinlessness and another person, and then the specific participation that you are doing, and you'll see how it generalizes to how it lives your life as an ego, sure enough. But that's what we're doing for purification. We're purifying your thinking. And then you'll be empowered. you will be able to better read the rest of the book after tonight. It's one of the many places where you get this purification benefit. Okay, let's continue. Kenny, you want to try read number 5? I say try. I should have more confidence in him. Kenny, how would you like to read number 5?
I think I'd rather listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, you bet.
Okay.
All right, Luann, how about number 5? I'm going to get your mute.
Both reason and the ego will tell you this, but what they make of it is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
The ego will assure you now that it is impossible for you to see no guilt in anyone. And if the seeing is the only means by which escape from guilt can be attained, then the belief in sin must be eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Yet reason looks on this another way, where reason sees the source of an idea as what will make it either true or false. This must be so if the idea is like its source. Therefore, says reason, if escape from guilt was given to the Holy Spirit as his purpose, and by one to whom nothing he wills can be impossible, the means for its attainment are more than possible. They must be there, and you must have them.
Good news! The means for its attainment are more than possible. They must be there, and you must have them. This is good news. Number 6, Cecilia, I got your mute.
Okay. This is a crucial period in this course, for here the separation of you and the ego must be made complete.
Mm-hmm.
For if you have the means to let the Holy Spirit's purpose be accomplished, they can be used. And through their use will you gain faith in them. Yet, to the ego, this must be impossible, and no one undertakes to do what holds no hope for ever being done. You know what your Creator wills is possible, but what you made believes it is not so. Now must you choose between yourself and an illusion of yourself. Not both, but one. There's no point in trying to avoid this one decision. It must be made. Faith and belief can fall to either side, but reason tells you misery lies only on one side and joy upon the other.
More really good news. He says, when you see what I'm talking about, and the Holy Spirit is your reason, you'll see that misery lies on one side and joy on the other, and there's only two sides. And you do have the power to go to the joy side. Wow. You do have the power to go to the fear side. Which one are you good at? Well, you're better at joy as we go along. Jason, will you read for us? I got your mute. We're running through the whole section.
Well,
number 7.
What page?
472 in the text.
Okay. 471, that's pretty amazing. Oh, no, that's
472.
No, that was a lesson, sorry. That was a pretty good catch, though. I think the first one. 4727. Forsake not now your brother. For you who are the same will not decide alone, no differently.
Mm-hmm.
Either you give each other life or death.
Mm-hmm.
Either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering his sanctuary or condemnation. This course will be believed entirely or not at all, for it is wholly true or wholly false, and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all.
This is what I call fine print. This is fine print. One of those places, of Course in Miracles, was just, look, this is how it is. he said, I will help you as much as I can. I, I've written 365 lessons. I've written texts with a bunch of nice words. I've got a manual for teachers to help you out with some of the concepts and the terms. But it's a bit harsh what we're doing here, and it needs to be so. So, Jason, would you reread those last three sentences and just so that we can see how this is really something we have to apply to our thinking. And honestly, it is an all or nothing game.
Either you give each other life or death. Either you are each other's savior or his judge, offering him sanctuary or condemnation. This course will be believed entirely or not at all. For it is wholly true or wholly false, and cannot be but partially believed. And you will either escape from misery entirely or not at all. Reason will tell you that there is no middle ground where you can pursue, you can pause uncertainly, waiting to choose between the joy of heaven and the misery of hell.
And you know that we're going to go do, there are no neutral thoughts when we get to that paragraph. Another wonderful freeing lesson. It says you can't waver and you don't waver and you don't wait. Every thought you have is either going up toward the light or down to the dark. So you're always in motion. You do not rest. You are in a world of self-making. Every thought you have becomes your life, and there is no neutral thought, period. You are a creator. You, as you know yourself, are a verb. There's no rest. You do not rest. When you harness this for joy, you would never have rest. You would say more joy. It's only because you found your way out of rest, you know, out of joy, that you want even rest. Yeah, we'll spend time on that when we get there. Please continue.
Until you choose heaven, you are in hell and misery.
Oh, well, that makes my point.
You know, I was thinking about this in meditation. They always say, be present at the place between the in and the outer breath. And that really is symbolic here, because in the middle of the in and outer breath, there is no inner or outer.
Yeah.
It's one or nothing.
Nice, Jason. Uh-huh. Still the breath. Nice. Beautiful. Somebody's on board here with no name on the Pixel 6. Is that somebody who wants to read?
I think that was, wasn't that Cecily?
Oh, right.
Oh, it's me. I'm just pulling into my driveway, so I can't read quite yet.
Okay, great. We'll pick you up in the next round. Hi, Ross. Okay, let me just name him for now. He'll probably pop onto his computer in a minute.
Was that Ross?
That was Ross. He's driving.
He looks so...
What happened to your sound?
He muted himself while he was talking about Ross. Cliffhanger. Yeah, okay.
Has Jacqueline read? Because I haven't heard her read.
Yeah, she did. Tim, we're back up to you. I got your mute. Would you give to us paragraph 8?
There is no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions. Nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with.
More fine print, folks. It is all or nothing. You will not, I don't know, how do I say this without making it sound too harsh? Well, how about this? There's no compromise. You don't get to bring any of your doubt with you. You don't get to bring any of the world's limits with you, because every one of them is your desire as a creator not to enter heaven. Heaven is your right. That power and freedom of sharing and creating is your right. It's actually what you're made for. But you need seriously, miracles, no kidding. It's such a perfect name for this book. Once you figure out what a miracle is, shift in perception is absolutely required because you are blocking your own path. Who can help you? If you are blocking your own path, if you have thoughts in your mind that are the perfect block for you to return to the light, you're making them personally for you. See, nobody can help you because of what you are. Jesus has done a great job here with this book, but eventually you have to actually participate. And you deliver yourself to the truth. You take your illusions and you dissolve them. And then God takes the last step. That's only because you have put down the blocks. The truth then shows itself to be true then in that moment and always. That's what it means when God takes the last step. God is truth. God is simply what is, what actually is. Your dream is what is not. Your habits of thinking that your body, time, space, this is blocking what is. Then it's time to wake up. It's absolutely like a dream. But there's going to be no compromise. There's going to be no holding them both at the same time and then having some kind soul in heaven say, here, let me sort out from you the love of the world and the love of God. This will not, cannot happen because of what you actually are. Okay, well, more of that later. But this is why it's so important that we get this binary feel, okay? This is very binary. Binary means two. It means there's only two. It's one or the other. That's it. Okay. Yeah, this is really great. Let's continue. Albert, would you give us number...
Would you like me to finish the paragraph?
Oh, I would, Tim. Please.
We read the first two sentences.
Oh, start over and I give us the whole thing.
There is no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions, nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with. A savior cannot be a judge, nor mercy condemnation. And vision cannot damn, but only bless. Whose function is to save will save. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your choice. For time you made, and time you can command. You are no more a slave to time than to the world you made.
Beautiful.
That's really important.
Tell me.
Because we believe time is something external to us that we can't alter. My watch is the same as your watch, or should be, is the same as the watch on the other side of the world. It's the same as the watch on the moon or on the space station. And that's beyond me, right? I can't alter time. I can't alter the past or the future. Well, what, you know, is how fast it's going now. That's our intuition. It's incorrect. Right. It's incorrect. And I'm talking, you know, yeah, okay, so sentences 7 and 8, that's Course in Miracles talking, time you made, etc. However, that's also physics.
Oh!
That's the correct understanding in the world of physics. In the chat, I'll post a link to a YouTube video by a guy named Carlo Rovelli, who makes it very understandable. But he's also one of the world's foremost experts. He's a philosopher and a physicist who specializes in the nature of time.
Wonderful. Thank you.
He just lays this out so that it's not you needing to believe Helen channeling Jesus in Course in Miracles. It's you reading the state of art science And then going back to Course in Miracles and going, they seem to be saying exactly the same thing here.
Nice.
Maybe I should pay attention.
Nice.
Maybe it's not the way it seems to be.
Maybe it's not as it appears to be. That's a definition of an illusion.
With that, I'll stop.
Thank you, Tim. I very much look forward to that. Albert, would you lay on us number 9?
Let us look closer at the whole illusion that what you made has power to enslave its maker.
Can't wait for that.
This is the same belief that caused the separation. It is the meaningless idea that thoughts can leave their thinker's mind, be different from it, and in opposition to it. If this were true, thoughts would not be the mind's extensions, but its enemies. And here we see again another form of the same fundamental illusion we have seen many times before. Only if it were possible, the Son of God will leave his Father's mind, make himself different, and oppose his, God's, will. Would it be possible that the self he made and all it made should be his master?
Beautiful. So clear. So Course in Miracles. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you give us paragraph 10?
Behold the great projection, but look on it with the decision that it must be healed, and not with fear. Nothing you made has any power over you unless you still would be apart from your Creator and with a will opposed to his. For only if you would believe his Son could be his enemy does it seem possible that what you made is yours. I'm going to read that sentence again.
Sure.
For only if you would believe his Son could be his enemy does it seem possible that what you made is yours.
Yeah, what you made is your enemy. Yeah.
You would condemn his joy to misery and make him different. And all the misery you made has been your own.
Mm.
Are you not glad to learn it is not true?
And do you remember I reminded you of Miracle Principle 7? It says purification is necessary first. This is what it's talking about. Please continue.
It is not welcome news to hear not one of the illusions that you made replaced the truth.
Yes. You didn't change the truth. You're not stuck with the misery that you have made. Very good. Very good. Jacqueline, would you read for us? I got your mute.
Only your thoughts have been impossible. Salvation cannot be. It is impossible to look upon your Savior as your enemy and recognize him. Yet it is possible to recognize him for what he is, if God would have it so. What God has given to your holy relationship is there. For what he gave the Holy Spirit to give to you, he gave. Would you not look upon the Savior that has been given you? And would you not exchange in gratitude the function of an executioner you gave him for the one he has in truth? Receive of him what God has given him for you, not what you tried to give yourself.
Mm. Nice. Okay, Luann, please give us number 12.
Beyond the body that you interpose between you and your brother, and shining in the golden life that reaches it from the bright, endless circle that extends forever, is your holy relationship, beloved of God himself. How still it rests in time and yet beyond, immortal yet on earth. How great the power that lies in it. Time waits upon its will, and earth will be as it would have it be. There is no separate will. nor the desire that anything be separate. Its will has no exceptions, and what it wills is true. Every illusion brought to its forgiveness is gently overlooked and disappears. For at its center, Christ has been reborn to live his home with vision that overlooks the world. Would you not have this holy home be yours as well? No misery is here, but only joy.
And finally, lucky number 13, Cecilia. I got your mute.
Okay. All you need to do to dwell in quiet here with Christ is share his vision. All you need to do to dwell in quiet here with Christ is share his vision. Quickly and gladly is his vision given. Anyone who is but willing to see his brother sinless. And no one can remain beyond this willingness. If you would be released entirely from all effects of sin, would you have partial forgiveness for yourself? Can you reach heaven while a single sin still tempts you to remain in misery? Heaven is the home of perfect purity, and God created it for you. Look at your holy brother, sinless as yourself, and let him lead you there.
Course in Miracles talks so much about this maneuver to make your ass-holy brother your savior. This takes a real shift in perception. But it is indeed this kind of thing which is an awakening. You would have to be in one state of consciousness to see your brother as the problem or a sinner or unlovable. And the same being to be your savior, you would really have to have a discontinuous or be reborn in how you see your brother. You're not going to take an ugly, harmful, ruinous murderer or cheater or whatever you found in the world and make that lovable. No. You would need a miracle, which is a discontinuous healing, a disruptive thought. You get off the downward staircase and you get on the upward staircase. It's a whole different switch in direction. This is why miracles heal. Because they do not go do or deal with the sickness. Something that deals with the sickness is a compromise. It is still honoring the sickness, which may then return or may not be healed or et cetera, et cetera. But imagine how to discover that the sickness is actually not operating. Then it doesn't need to be healed. Is that correct? It's like not even there. In the world, you try to make the world better. You treat the sickness and you try to smooth the edges so it doesn't hurt as much. We are healing your thoughts. We are healing your mind. We're switching from false to true. So we're not going to fix the false. This is the blessing of this path and why I love it so much and why I'm so grateful. Because I've been working this for, COVID. I know it's at least 28 years. I used to say that years ago it was 28 years. So I don't know how many years it is now without counting the COVID years. Trying to break this material. Because I'm putting a lot on it. I'm putting a lot on this, these practices and the wisdom in this book. It just keeps bringing me peace. It allows me to let go of the things that were stealing my peace. It gives me permission to have some discontinuous thoughts that end up making me joyful, at least free, getting a better night's sleep, being more available to be loving to other people who are still struggling with these old limited thoughts. It is self-proving because of its effect, this book. And the concept we're working on tonight, the depth of it, I'm telling you, this is an all or nothing game, but you can do it. And as we're going to read again, when we get there in the middle of this reading, the power to do it is already in you. It's your right. It also comes with your mind. It already comes with you being an extension of love. You actually being something amidst a dream of nothing. Do you see how incompatible that is? So you're going to wake up to the something in you. So that's the spirit that is you. You wake up to that. And it's just a difference. It works with some different principles that are what we achieve. When we have a shift in perception, we stop the stinking thinking that made things so dark. And then right in the middle of a problem, you have a holy instant where you feel a sense of relief because you've had vision. You've seen right through the problem and you get a bigger picture. Things like that are healing. They are healing to the way your mind works. And then you personally, nobody can do this for you. That's why I say you will not be saved. You must take these steps and then you will creatively harness them into your personal life and you will find the freedom in your personal life. And then you will deliver that wholly to the truth. Okay. Let's get into some of this. Let's go back now to page 471. And Ross, if you would you read for us paragraph 1 on 471? I got your mute.
Your brother's sinlessness, the opposite of illusions, is not disillusionment, but truth. Only to the ego, to which truth is meaningless, do they appear to be the only alternatives and different from each other. In truth, they are the same. Both bring the same amount of misery, though each one seems to be the way to lose the misery the other brings. Every illusion carries pain and suffering in the dark folds of the heavy garments in which it hides its nothingness. Yet by these dark and heavy garments are those who seek illusions covered and hidden from the joy of truth.
Okay, so the essence of this is pointing out what I said just a moment ago, that if you are dealing with darkness, you will only have shades of darkness. If you're healing by dealing with sickness, you will have shades of sickness. Do you see? If you're healing in your personal relationship, hate with finding a way to not hate as much, you're still living in the continuum of hate or the continuum of sickness or the continuum of guilt, and you will not be free. In fact, you're just finding another subtle way to just take another stitch in hate or anger or unfairness or sickness or whatever ails you.
Continuums are not all or nothing.
Continuums are not all or nothing. Thank you, Tim. Very good.
So I've got my essay written, and I've been working on it for about a week.
Sounds good. What's that? Okay, so let's look at that first sentence because it's indicative of Jesus puts it in his words better than mine. The opposite of illusions is not disillusionment, but the truth. And remember I was saying earlier, I said the opposite of defense is not no defense or defenseless. It's defenselessness. Go all the way. If you just put down your defenses, then defense is still being discussed, and now you can be attacked because you chose not to defend the attack. Oh, good for you. Bravo. But that could be very, you know, that could really ruin your day. I'm not talking about being a doormat. You're not talking about trying to live your life in some way where nothing, you never protect yourself from sharp objects, or you don't keep the blood on the inside of your sack, or the money in the bank, needlessly losing money on, you know, we're not talking about anything like that. That's not to be holy. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is not suffering. Holiness is not proven by your willingness to starve or... Yeah, Ross, what do you got?
So Brian one time talked about he was at the dog park, and he has this big, large dog. And this little dog came up and was barking and jumping up on him and everything. And the big dog was just looking at him like, what is going on? I just don't understand this. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about. It was just inconsequential to the big dog. Yeah. The little dog's going just, you know, all nutso. And the dog's just, I don't know what to make of this.
That's a good example.
Yeah,
it didn't mean anything to the big dog.
It didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Little dog is all full of this spit and steam and rah, bark and everything else. Big dog's like, what? Did you say something? Didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
Well, I'm just wanted to clarify here. Isn't that what we talk about when it's a level confusion? Because like you said, in the real world, you may still do what you need to do, right?
Yes.
So that's where the level confusion comes in, because at the other level, you know, we are invulnerable, but
yes,
that's a level of spirit.
You got it.
So that's part of the, when level confusion is talked about, that's one of the examples.
Very good, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify.
That's absolutely what we're trying to get at. Thank you for saying it so clearly. Beautiful, beautiful. Good, good, good. Okay, so that's what that paragraph is about. It really is level confusion. Thank you, Jacqueline. Okay. Let's go on and look at paragraph 2 now. So, Tim, would you read for us paragraph 2? I got your mute. Page 471.
We're back to the beginning?
Yes, we are.
Truth is the opposite of illusions. Correct sentence?
Yes, you got it.
Because it offers joy. What else but joy could be the opposite of misery? To leave one kind of misery and seek another is hardly an escape. To change illusions is to make no change. The search for joy in misery is senseless. For how could joy be found in misery? All that is possible in the dark world of misery is to select some aspects out of it, see them as different, and define the difference as joy. Yet to perceive a difference where none exists will surely fail to make a difference.
Again, commenting on that in the first paragraph, it was talking when I was, my analogy was like, if you just treat the sickness only in the level of the sickness, you will remain with some sickness. It's a continuum. If you treat your anger with less anger and say, well, that'll have to do, you know, it's still angry and it can build up and you're not free. You see? And so that's what it's saying in paragraph 1. Paragraph 2, and then paragraph 1 finishes by saying, you know, you're blocking yourself from the joy of truth. Truth now would be applying a miracle. There's a shift in perception about the sickness. And you receive freedom from your own thinking, not from the situation. You're not healing a sickness, you're releasing it. You're not healing. You're not healing anger. You're releasing it. The miracle says that anger is not justified in any form because it's made up and you're making it up. That's a miracle. Yeah, but I'm still angry and I still get really upset when I see this, but I can see how really I don't have to get upset because I'm the one who's making myself suffer, even though it was a horrible thing, but you know, it's over. And if I keep thinking about it, I am the one who's doing that. Okay, I get it. See, that's forgiveness. Forgiveness. The miracle's there. It's set. You found out that you're doing the suffering. Forgiveness is letting go of repeating the thought patterns, the words, the habits that bring suffering and therefore keep the whole situation in place. As you know, these thoughts can go around and around for years. Years. You can wake up in the morning and be reminded by some horrible thing that happened 5, 10 years ago, maybe even somebody who's dead, and the ego loves it. You need a miracle, and then you need to apply forgiveness where you release these patterns based on the miracle. And when you breathe that fresh air, that spiritual air of having released the problem, and your little giggle comes out, that's your holy instant, and you are healed. So number two is truth is the opposite of illusion. Number one says the opposite of illusions is not disillusionment. And I told you that the opposite of defense is not defenseless, putting down your defenses. Nope, you're still in trouble. Truth is the opposite of illusions because it offers joy. Aha! So here we have a definition of what it's like to bring truth into your mind. And you remember a couple pages back, and do I want to see what I have denied because it is the truth? And your answer is, of course, yes, because you're, of course, a miracle student, and you found that joy comes with allowing yourself to come to truth. What do I mean by truth? Have we lost sight of this already? Let me give you an example of truth that you can take with you for the rest of your life in any situation. Here it comes. Ready? Just to remind you that this is yes. As you give, you receive. It's a circle. What you're thinking, you're going to live. There's truth for you. It's true before, it's true now, and it'll be true always. As you give, seek no further than your thoughts, you receive. And the book says that so authoritatively because, of course, you live your thoughts. Even if you're trying to use them to attack somebody else, you're living attack. Therefore, you have attack. And attack is real. Now you can be attacked as well. And welcome to the world. It is not true. What if you learn somehow in your meditations and your lessons that attack was actually impossible, that you are of love and so is what you see and witness? It's of love, meaning it's all one, meaning it's instantaneously and thoroughly sharing. This is a beautiful thing about existence and life that you've closed your eyes to. And are you interested in seeing what you've denied because it is the truth? Remember. So here we're finding a little good news. Truth offers joy. And that's what I'm in it for. I'm here to get rid of this habitual thought of darkness, of sadness or a limit that attends living in a body. And it's born in me now. The light has been reborn in me. So I'm just going to go further and further. You guys are coming along and helping me along this path.
Andrew?
Yes.
And it's always, you know, I always meditate on that. And what I receive is what I give. What I give is what I receive. And what I receive is what I give. You know, it's just a really beautiful cycle to remember.
Beautiful.
It's
yes, I can.
All one.
Yes.
It's instantaneous.
Yes. Instantaneous. That's the holy instant. When you can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Try this one. It's the same topic, but it came from a different author. And he says, I am because God is, comma, God is because I am. I am because God is. God is because I am.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I am because God is. It's a beautiful circle. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. This guy was a mathematician, Franklin Merrill Wolfe, and he came up with that. And I thought it was such a gift. I never forgot it.
Mm.
Yeah, thank you, Cecilia.
Thank
you. It's such a celebration to be able to witness the power to instantaneously feel free. Mm-hmm. You touch the spirit in you. And now you kind of transcend for a moment, as I think you could feel her freedom, the power of her choosing, the power that she witnessed, that she could choose her next thought, and that she was not a victim. That's what it's all about. Good, good, good. That's beautiful. Okay, I think we got paragraph 2 now. He's pretty redundant here. Yeah, I think we got that. We've nailed that pretty well. I think who are we up to now? Albert, I think. Albert, would you read for us paragraph 3? Who read paragraph 2? I guess Tim did. Very good. Albert, paragraph 3?
Illusions carry only guilt and suffering, sickness and death to their believers. The form in which they are accepted is irrelevant. No form of misery in reason's eyes can be confused with joy. Joy is eternal. You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear. I like that sentence.
Read it again.
You can be sure indeed that any seeming happiness that does not last is really fear.
Oh, I love it when there's a pithy teaching like that, that leads you to perhaps to close your book and meditate for a moment and say, why do I like that?
Mm-hmm.
Albert, do you have any idea why you like that? Can you teach us why you like that, Albert? Are you ready for that?
Fear is an interesting subject. It's the most powerful of our love and joy are our two. I can't think of the word right offhand, but our beliefs.
Yeah, the opposites: fear and joy,
and
fear and love.
So fear is what we have with us all our life, and because we believe that we're material beings, that's basically the idea that there's two powers, and we are actually a material being, and there's death is real and sickness is real. So we have fears of all these things, and none of them are real, and that's the part we have to really become convinced that they're not real. They're not the truth.
Yes, that's right. That is right. Course in Miracles says you'd have to step out of an insane thought system to know that it's insane. If you've been playing a particular role on a stage, some Shakespeare role, and you've been playing it every day and every night and every day, and pretty soon you forgot your real life. You even forgot your home address. You just stay at the theater, and you keep speaking with this English accent, even though you're not English. You get lost. The truth is, the theater is all made up. The truth is, your life in the body is made up. The truth is, you're safe at home, meaning You're the actor and not the character. You are a son of God. You are an extension of God, which is a creator. You are a creative thought in the mind of God, and it's never ending. But you have stopped with one little thought and circled and circled and circled and circled.
Which is mindlessness.
It's mindlessness. That's correct. Yes, and it blocks creation. It blocks love, actually. You've had to come up with some substitute. Yeah, very good. Very good. You're only one thought away, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know that, everybody? Did you know that? You're only one thought away from your complete awakening. Of course, right? It wouldn't be a labyrinth of thinking, would it? Is there a test to pass? Is there some maze you have to walk through before you can awaken? Yeah, think about that sometime. Go to text 383. And let's just look at paragraph 4. Hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to 383 and let's get some more good news. Oh, Ross, please.
So you said, what you said is before, is there some labyrinth you have to walk through before? And so it made me think what occurred to me is since there is no time, the only time that you can be enlightened or awake is now.
You got it.
Therefore, you are awake now. You just haven't realized it. That's the thought, that the one thought that you could have that should turn on the light. Wait a minute.
Yep.
There's no other time but now. I have to be enlightened right now. So why don't I just...
Yes.
I think he's going to... Ross is about to poof right out of our Zoom session. Hang in there, buddy. Finish the meeting for us at least.
There's nothing holding back, you know?
He's about to get poof into the spirit.
There's nowhere to be unenlightened, and there's no when to be unenlightened. So obviously, that's what's happening now.
Obviously. Have you ever been lost in a book?
Every holy instant that you could have, you're just denying, 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 denying. And when you just, as when you do nothing, when you stop denying the holy instant that you could be having.
Hello.
There it is.
It was pow. It's not that you do, it's that you stop doing. It's an undoing.
Yes. It has to be because there's no time.
Yes, you've been lost in a book. And you keep turning the pages, and it's getting later and later past your bedtime. Oh, one more page, or a TV show, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
You're just one thought away from not doing that. Even though it seems also exciting and complex, right? Good, Ross. Beautiful. Bring that again anytime. Unless you just poof out of existence, and we don't get to talk to you again because you just poofed.
Well, it's a little bit like the dream. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, when you're having a nightmare.
Yes.
And you wake up.
Yes.
And you're so happy it was just a dream.
Yes.
It's a little like that.
And then you choose which you prefer.
Exactly. You're so glad that you are awake from that dream.
Yes.
That you thought was real.
We had a Course in Miracles member, and she would have a bad dream about her husband, and it made her so mad. When she woke up, that what he did in the dream stayed with her. She did not choose which she preferred. She kind of liked being angry at him, I guess. But he would come and say, "Hi, hon, I cannot talk to you." That's what she would say. "I need time after what you did in my dream." Poor guy.
Well, we do that all the time.
We do that all the time.
Uh-huh.
In our waking dream.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. Very good, uh-huh. Cecilia. Very good. Yes. Quick, before you go to 383, just for Cecilia, I would like to read 252. I think it is. I kind of forget the page number. It's 251 or 252? It's 251. This is where your freedom is. There's a short sentence here that's probably highlighted because we come here often enough. But this is kind of how you could be free instantly. How does that work? I love this gift. On page 251, paragraph 3, sentence 5. Mm-hmm. Is it highlighted in your book already? Mm-hmm. It should be.
Yep.
To be born again is to let the past go and to look without condemnation on the present. Huh, Cecilia?
Mm-hmm.
Let the past go. Let it be over and done. It's gone anyway. And meet each moment with no condemnation. Now you're free. I just love that. It's so practical. It's so instant.
Mm-hmm.
Instant. Yes. Okay. Now I want to remind you that what we're reading right now, what we're discussing right now, is which will you prefer? Do you prefer getting even with your anger or your attack? Would you prefer setting the score straight, or would you prefer to have less anger, hanging on to some anger because, after all, the person did you wrong? Or would you like to find a way in you which is joyful over the anger? Watch my words carefully. You would need a miracle to be joyful over the anger. We're not fixing the anger. That's in the world. That's in the materialism. Who was saying material versus spiritual earlier? You are a spiritual being, and you're pretending to be under the laws of material. I think it was Albert. And you're pretending to be under the laws of the material. You are not. So you can see the material from the perspective of spirit, can't you? Only if you've taken somewhere, somehow along the way, become really present, like Ross was describing, and found that you are not actually in time. Something about you is invisible. This is your spirit identity. It's your door of leaving this world behind. And it's joyful. It's instantaneously joyful because it's free and peaceful. And from that comes creation and love and sharing and so forth, everything you want. Look at paragraph 4 on page 383. And I think we're up to, who's, Jacqueline, did you read? Let's have Jacqueline. I got your mute. Would you read for us 383, paragraph 4?
Okay. I think Luann was next, but that's okay.
Oh, you want to? Okay, Jacqueline is surrendering her time to her honorable Luann. Okay, Luann, you are up. Thank you, Jacqueline. So nice of you. I'll take all help I can get.
Happy dreams come true, not because they are dreams, but only because they are happy. And so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done, and not, I want it otherwise. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own, and you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them.
Isn't that great? I want to emphasize one sentence in here. You know, other than the first sentence, which is just absolutely wonderful. Happy dreams come true, not because they're dreams. No, only because they're happy. Okay, let's spend a little time on that for a second. Happiness has a spirit. Mm. It would be called the spirit of happiness.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's contagious. It's addictive. It's what makes living worthwhile. Happiness has a spirit. It will be called the spirit of happiness. It's actually your inheritance, okay? Where, as you learn from the workbook, it's actually your inheritance. It's the spirit of God. It's the spirit of life itself. Happiness. This is why this book says so confidently, right here on this page, in that sentence, that happy dreams, what a contradiction in terms, right? Happy dreams come true, not because they're dreams. Dreams don't come true. Dreams are dreams. Dreams never come true. But see the twist in words? Because of the spirit of happiness must be present for you to experience happiness, then it instantaneously comes true. Not in the material world, not in the form of whatever the dream was. No, in the spirit of happiness. In the spirit of happiness. Happiness means that you've attached to the spirit of God, therefore it's loving. This is why your only function is to perfect happiness, says the workbook, says A Course in Miracles. This is why A Course in Miracles says elsewhere, if you are not supremely happy, you are miserable. Yes, Ross.
So I'm looking at that two sentences, and I'm seeing more at to be happy, accept things the way they are. Thy will be done, not I want it, and not I want it otherwise. So in other words, whatever you perceive, because you're going, that's what we got in the world, whatever you perceive is happening, okay, that's thy will be done. And wanting it otherwise is the key to unhappiness. I'm still struggling. I know you went over this spirit of and filled in a lot of different words with that, with the spirit of before. And I don't know about anybody else, but I didn't get it. And I'm still struggling with your...
Thank you.
Trying to understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
That whole thing. But I do understand...
Nobody seems to come back at me, so it must not be hitting traction. Thank you for speaking up, Ross.
But this I understand, and I've heard it other places, is if you want to be happy, just the way things are is what you accept. And I hear that word a lot in the Course, acceptance. Acceptance of the way things are, accept thy will be done, don't want it otherwise. That to me is more... understandable. I'm sure you have an understanding of what you're getting at with the spirit of happiness, but it's more understandable for me if I say, oh, I see. I accept things the way they are, and then there's happiness because I'm okay. And you've said this before as well, is this or something better? So yeah, thy will be done, or it could be something better. Either way, I'm still happy.
The
I understand it that way.
Very good. The priority is happiness first, not respecting what's happening. The thy will be done, thy will is happiness, not the situation.
Okay.
You're choosing the goal of happiness from happiness. Let me explain it this way. When you're following spirit, you're coming from happiness. The spirit of happiness is with you. When you are following the ego, you are going to happiness from sadness. Therefore, you're carrying the spirit of sadness with you, hoping that you get a spirit of happiness. You see, you're carrying the sadness. When you come from spirit, you come from happiness.
Yeah. The Constitution guarantees us the right for the pursuit of happiness. Another wise man, I forget who it was, it might have been Lincoln, said, people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be.
Yes. Nice. So. Nice. Yes, Luann.
Well, I'm feeling really, really happy. What I know while I'm feeling it is I don't have to worry about anything because I'm just happy.
Yes.
Everything else doesn't count.
It's arrived. It's arrived.
It's here. It's here. I don't have to think about or worry about or I don't have to think about anything else because I'm happy.
Yes. I also learned I took a little bit of martial arts and they talked about you finding your center. You can't be afraid and you can't be defensive because you get tight and slow and, you know, you really have to be present and you really have to drop the paralyzing fear. You have to actually take a few hits to know that you can survive them and not lose your ground. And it's calming. It's very calming. And it, to find out, you know, I can do this.
I've taken a couple of defensive things. One was Aikido, and one was Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. And Aikido was okay, but Tai Chi made me feel like nothing as bad is going to happen at all because I'm just going to let their energy be what I let pass by.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you buy into the fear of being defensive, it is a limit. But if you come from, I am capable of stepping aside from trouble. I can block without hurting the other person. You're so much more in control of the outcome and of your happiness and of the whole situation. So let me say it again. With your right mind, you are coming from the spirit of happiness to happiness. In your wrong mind, you're coming from the spirit of sorrow and going toward happiness. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
They're both a conversation of happiness, but one carries sorrow. The other one carries happiness. And Luann jumped in and says, yeah, I've been there. I found myself in happiness and I just stayed there. Yes. Yes. Jacqueline.
I'm with Rosalind because you've talked to me also, you know, we did our privates and also in the class about spirit of happiness, spirit of love. So what I did with that in my circle, okay, there's God's will. I am God's will. God's will is love. God's will is happiness. God's will is light. God's will is eternal life. All these. So then I am happiness. I am love. I mean, that is the spirit as spirit. So as a when you're talking about, I'm thinking there's a another spirit, you know, a spirit of happiness over there. But for me, I don't know. That's kind of how I kind of am attempting to understand what you're sharing, how you're perceiving it and what you're wanting to share. So I don't know if you or anyone else wants to say anything about that.
There's a spirit identity with a capital S. I am spirit. And that would be an extension of isness. Very good. But there's also a lowercase spirit. as we get more familiar with what spirit actually is, there's all one mind. And if you can, so yes, Jacqueline, you are love. You are an extension of love. And the spirit of love is all you can own. You can deny it, can't you? Aren't you capable of denying that love that you are?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you do it, you fight fire with fire. You fight spirit with spirit. What else is strong enough to block spirit than spirit? Do you see? Is this helping, Ross?
No. So I guess
I want questions. I want you to push back.
Another way I think of it is what I've read in the course is that God gave me everything when he created me. He gave me all his attributes, which are joy, happiness, peace. All these are things that he gave me. I know they're in me somewhere. And
yes.
I know that, you know, what the course says is, you know, okay, there's clouds that are blocking the light. And that's what I've done. I've made all these clouds blocking the light of my true gifts of joy, peace, happiness, love. You know, I am love. But all of these things are what God has given me as when he created me. So they're all in there.
And the book says that you
did it that way.
Too. And you block love.
Yes.
How? What has the power to block love? Are there two powers, Albert?
No, the power of mind.
The power of mind.
No.
What is this power of mind? Albert, how many powers are there?
Last time I counted, it was one.
Are you calling that spirit, Andrew?
So,
the power of mind?
So if you blocked love, and there's only one power, what blocked love?
Nothing.
This is madness. It's impossible.
You can't actually block love. That's why I say you might find it sure helped me when I began to look at the sameness rather than the differences, and I arrive at the fact that the spirit is everywhere. There's a spirit of love, and there's a spirit of hate, and they're both spirit. Now, not to confuse what I'm talking about with Jacqueline, there is also an extension of the spirit of God. That is my true identity. I've been blocking that. I've been taking the unholy spirit, and we call that the ego. But it's helpful to me to look at the sameness, not the differences. And now you can work your way back to using the one power, seeing the application of the one power. There are not two powers. There's not a big competition between God and the devil. And the devil seems to be winning, by the way. If that was a competition, I think the devil's winning here. Have you seen Ukraine lately? So there must be another way to see all of this. And that's just what I'm trying to get across. And Ross, I challenge you to continue to challenge me, please. And push back. It was so helpful to me. I'm going to continue to teach it. And everybody push back, ask questions. But it is a way to get away from the differences and start seeing the sameness in how your mind works, your creative mind. Okay. Well, let's to close the meeting. Let's read that 383, paragraph 4. Such a beautiful
383.
Such a beautiful paragraph. It's part of what we're working on. So, Cecilia, would you please read for us that whole paragraph 4?
Sure.
Page 383.
Oh, God, do you have to?
Jason, I'm going to mute you so you can have those comments to yourself. Yes, we have to, but you don't have to say. You have no private thoughts, Jason. That's in this book.
Happy dreams come true, not because they're dreams, but only because they're happy. And so they must be loving. Their message is, thy will be done, and not I want it otherwise. The alignment of means and purpose is an undertaking impossible for you to understand. You do not even realize you have accepted the Holy Spirit's purpose as your own, and you would merely bring unholy means to its accomplishment. The little faith it needed to change the purpose is all that is required to receive the means and use them.
And use them.
The little faith.
Mm-hmm. And you might even find yourself just choosing happiness from the start, not as a result. Take on the spirit of happiness and you will be happy. Do not carry your sorrow looking for happiness. That would be using the wrong spirit. The block to happiness is sorrow. Choose the happiness. Go to a still moment. Breathe in some spiritual air, which is always in the present, and proceed with whatever thing you're doing in your life. And you will find yourself more free. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. We'll pick up again next week.
I'm coming from a place of a lot of sincerity. And lately, my like today, my personal practice has been, I don't know what the right word is, unremitting. There is the exercise of watching the self. I am not this body. I am
right,
free.
Yeah, up here. Yeah,
watching. So you step away from being in the play. Andrew, you were talking about being perpetually in the Shakespearean play with the British accent that's not yours, and not seeing that you're in there because you're embedded in it. And you can't notice the difference until you're outside, right? You can't make a judgment. You can't have any contrast, or you can't make a judgment until there's contrast. For contrast, you have to step outside. When you're embedded, there's no contrast, so you can't, you can't tell.
Yep.
So I watch myself when the name of this we started off with was, your brother's sinlessness, right? So I struggle with my wife's sharp tongue. That's my trigger. I think she's rude,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
My wife is sinless.
Mm-hmm.
Where my release from suffering comes
mm-hmm.
is where I no longer react to that in the form of I have been injured.
Yep.
I am a victim. Instead, what I see is she might be in pain, or she's overwhelmed, or I don't know what's going on, but you know what? It doesn't freaking matter. What matters is my response.
Bingo!
Not my understanding of what's generating her action.
You can't accurately understand it because she doesn't understand it. She's not upset for the reason she thinks.
So I walk in peace today
yes.
because through continuous practice, I'm able to continue to walk with my mind in that other place, seeing it from the outside, but from a position of power.
Yeah.
From a position of balance. There's this wonderful word, equipoise.
Hmm.
Emotional balance.
Okay? Equanimity.
It's close to equanimity. Equipoise, right? So as I did my hour walk through the woods today for help, I'm walking in a state of equipoise, of balance.
Nice.
I step carefully through the mud puddle so I don't slip.
The middle way. Very good.
So that's wonderful. The nightmare, the morning dream where I'm like, oh, Tim is bad. Tim is this. Tim, I imagine myself being, I find myself in a car. My dad's driving and I've been caught drinking again and again and again. And now I'm being t- taken against my will to a rehab center where I will now spend the next month in a locked facility, and I'm miserable, and I'm thinking about opening the door and bailing out, but I don't have any money and I don't have any resources. And it's a terrible dream, okay? And it doesn't have any really thing to do with my real life. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching myself having a dream, and I say, I don't have to dream this dream anymore.
Yeah.
That's the freedom Ross goes on about so eloquently.
Yes.
Right? The wonderful thing about finding out you're in a terrible place is that you're not in the terrible place.
Yes. We're going to cover that in this section. The only way to get out of a terrible place is to leave it.
So
you have the power to leave it.
Yeah. So that's the energy
in a dream
coming from me tonight.
Thank you, Tim.
Is living that.
Bravo. Bravo.
I want to share something with you guys before I leave. It was like this 80-year-old lesbian, leather-faced lesbian. She must have been smoking for 50 years. And she goes, at the end of her share, she spoke for 20 minutes, have a nice day, unless you have other plans. That was so cute.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.